dark and sad day on Rams Talk Radio. To say we're disappointed is an understatement. I'm Steve Ribeiro, here with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, I'll let you start. What are your initial thoughts on the Los Angeles Rams re-debut?
I went into work the other day, and after that horrible, horrible game, I basically laughed it off because I work with a bunch of Raider and 49er fans and said, as far as I'm concerned, the Rams didn't play on Monday. And not too far from the truth. They really didn't show up to play. Everything was chaotic, and in the end, they just looked awful.
Yeah, after the last 12-ish years, we're kind of used to it. They had the worst Week 1 performance out of any team. It's kind of undebatable. They looked awful. There's very, very few positives out of this game. They looked brutal. Their offense couldn't get 10 yards to save their life. It's 7-3 and outs. It's bad. We don't look very good. And yeah, I kind of just, you got to laugh it off and move on with your life and hope for the best. But we looked bad. We'll start with the offense. First, any positives that we take from this?
Kenny Britt actually didn't look terrible.
No, he didn't.
In fact, he did pretty well. Just as a whole, the offense looked bad. Even Todd Gurley didn't really perform, and who could perform with the offensive line just collapsing like that? This wasn't the offensive line we were expecting. Really awful all around, but if I were to say there was at least one thing to take away from this, is that Kenny Britt actually looked like he did a pretty solid job, and hopefully he can remain consistent. That's kind of the basic thing that he needs to do is consistency.
Yeah, Kenny Britt looked good. Him and Case Keenum had good chemistry, which long-term doesn't really mean jack shit. But for now, they look good. I think Kenny will be fine whenever the new quarterback steps in. Todd tried, man. He still managed to get like a 74 grade from PFF, which is decent. He broke 7 tackles, but he breaks a tackle and he's still behind the line of scrimmage. What the hell do you want the guy to do? He got no space. He had one rush for 10 yards, and that was about the highlight of his day. When you've got a stud like this, you have to move the pile. And unfortunately, because of how bad the passing game is, San Francisco just stacked the box, and there was no hope for Gurley to move around.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the offense just looked very uninspired. It didn't even look like they had even practiced at all. It looked very unorganized. Really, this is concerning as the season goes on.
Yeah, the whole team, and that's on Fisher, they didn't look ready to play. In the second half, the defense played better, but in the first half, they had their moments, but they still looked sloppy overall. The offense was just an absolute mess. They weren't ready to play. As for Case Keenum, we've been on record saying that we thought he was fine. I think we were wrong. He did not look good at all.
Yeah, to attest to that, overall, I think with Keenum, he just saw the entire offense collapse. They played much better in the preseason. I don't know what the heck happened. It was a combination of just poor coaching and just very awful execution. So, Case, I don't blame the entire game on him for sure. I blame more of the coaching staff than anything.
You can't blame Case for everything. But he did make some bad plays. It's not entirely on him. The line played bad. They didn't give him too much help. The receivers didn't give him help. Him and Tavon had no chemistry, whether that's more Tavon's fault or Case's fault. We don't really know. Brian Quick is still a starter, so that does not help Case Keenum in the slightest. But he didn't look great. He had two picks. One was a tip pass, but that pick in the third quarter, that ended the game. After that, the defense just gave in. That pick was brutal.
Yeah, it definitely was the final blow to the offense. They just kind of it was kind of sad because they were rallying, they were driving down the field, and it looked like they may have actually had a chance to score. And well, that ended up in a pick, and that was the game.
Yeah, I felt for the defense there because they were hit and miss in the first half, but they came out on fire in the second half. Those first four drives, four straight three and outs, they look like the defense reaching its potential. I won't say what we expected because we knew that the holes that were exposed in the first half were there. But in the second half, this defense showed you how good they could be. Aaron Donald was playing out of his mind until he got fed up with everything and got himself ejected. But they looked good. They were putting pressure on. They were stopping the run. And the offense finally got some momentum and they threw it away. And you could just tell the defense was done after that.
Yeah. No question.
Like we said, the defense looked good in the second half, but in the first half, you saw their holes. They cut Akeem Ayers, and they didn't bring in another linebacker to replace him. They went with five DBs, and with Mark Barron, that's basically six DBs on the field at most times. I know he's a good pass rusher. He's a good player in general, but when you have four linemen and a middle linebacker and then basically all DBs, the run is hard to stop, and that showed. Carlos Hyde had a pretty good first half. Blaine Gabbert ran all over us a couple times. We'll start with that. Do you think the run defense will improve once the players adjust to the new-ish system?
It depends what you mean. As far as the defensive line goes, they're going to continue to do their thing. Defensive line looked really, really solid. I know some have looked at the rushing yards and attribute that to the defensive line. That was not the defensive line's fault. In fact, the defensive line did a very solid job in a lot of points in the game, you know, when the defense was out there for, you know, just a little bit of time. When the offense finally was driving, you could see it. Even in the second half at the beginning, the defense was rejuvenated and they seemed motivated. They were out of the gates, stopped the run, stopped Gabbert. At the end of it all, it boiled down to the defensive line being tired. They can't keep it up all game. That's not what they're supposed to be doing all game long. They're supposed to be able to have help. And this defensive scheme, it's not helping. It helps a bit in the passing game, but to tell you the truth, that didn't even help that much either, because this is the type of defensive scheme that you want to see if you have a great number of good cover corners and, you know, covering safeties as well. And that's just not the case with this team. LaMarcus Joyner being probably one of our best cover corners, and he was struggling big time. So I don't know what possessed Jeff Fisher and Greg Williams to go this route. I don't know if they just lacked the faith in Akeem Ayers, but it was truly evident that Akeem Ayers was missed.
Absolutely. I think the defensive line could have played a little bit better. They didn't get the pass rush that we expected them to get, but you can't blame them for the running, because that's just the fact that you took away a linebacker and replaced him with a safety. Alec Ogletree's a good player, but he can't make every single tackle, and once a running back gets past that front four, it's all DBs and Alec Ogletree. Without Ayers there, he's not that great of a player, but he's a solid player, and you need linebackers. You need big bodies to stop that run. And with the passing game, it theoretically should help, but this team desperately needs E.J. Gaines to play. They miss Janoris Jenkins out there. Cody Sensabaugh is awful. LaMarcus Joyner struggled. They need Gaines to fill that spot. They need him healthy, and hopefully he could look like he did his rookie year. Because Joyner is disappointing, and Sensabaugh is just, we knew from the get-go, he's not good, and he didn't look good at all.
Yeah, Sensabaugh needs to be really, really deep in the depth chart. Ideally, he shouldn't be on this team.
Agreed. But
considering our secondary options, we don't have much of a choice. And the fact that he was just being torched all game long, it's just extremely evident that he doesn't belong as a starter. And, you know, we can't, as you said, we can't wait to get EJ Gaines back.
This team needs Gaines bad. I think we're both on the same page. They didn't need to bring back Janoris Jenkins, but the fact that they didn't bring anyone in means they have a lot of faith in Gaines, and they need him healthy moving forward to resemble a secondary. Because even when Trumaine Johnson and McDonald had good games, the rest of the holes were exposed because they're just so thin on that depth chart.
Janoris was one of the reasons why the secondary was pretty decent last season. But I definitely agreed with the Rams not going after Jenkins, not giving him that ridiculous contract. But at the same time, they needed to look for a better option than Cody Sensabaugh. The idea, quite frankly, was pretty insulting that they were trying to keep Sensabaugh in as a starter. You know, no way he's going to replace a spot that Janoris Jenkins was holding.
No. He looked awful. He was getting destroyed every time that they threw to him.
Yeah, and they sought him out. They sought out Joyner.
Yeah.
Knew that he was going to make boneheaded penalties, and he did.
Joyner didn't look good in Hard Knocks. And then didn't look good in the game.
And then Fisher begging him to stay, that just, that pissed me off more than anything.
Fisher did not have this team prepared. The Hard Knocks people deserve an Emmy because they made this team look decent. And then that happened.
Yeah, I mean that's their job. They have to make, you know, the teams look good. But I never, you know, I was thinking about this as the game was going on, watching LaMarcus Joyner play, and I was looking at him play, and I'm like, was Fisher serious when he said that he felt that Joyner was the best cover corner on the team? Because I think that's bull.
That's definitely bull.
That was 7-9 bullshit thinking right there.
That was definitely 7-9 bullshit. I wish we saw 7-9 bullshit on Monday, but we didn't even get that close.
I would have prayed for 7-9
I would have loved some 7-9 bullshit. Yeah, Trumaine Johnson is clearly the best cover corner on the team. Joyner was – he's not this bad. He looked bad, but he was better last year, and hopefully – when they have E.J. Gaines there to take some pressure off him, he'll look more like his old self. One thing that really bothered me in this game was some of the boneheaded penalties, and by team captains nonetheless. Todd Gurley got that big fourth down and then chucked the ball at the defender in front of him, set us back, and then Case Keenum threw a pick like the next play. And then when the defense finally got a stop in the first half, Aaron Donald got a blatant late hit on Blaine Gabbert. You know, they're both passionate. They're both struggling with the rest of the team around and not doing well. But these guys are captains. They can't be making plays like that.
Gurley, I kind of attribute that to him being very young. We forget because of how skilled this guy is. He's only a second-year guy. I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt just because he's the second-year guy. He's making boneheaded decisions. Hopefully, as he matures, he'll – you know, think a little bit more responsibly, because that truly killed momentum that could have led to some points. As far as Gurley goes, he does need to think like a leader, and he clearly wasn't. In terms of Aaron Donald, I have to say I was understanding of Aaron Donald. A lot of people were pretty harsh on Aaron Donald, but if you really look back as to why he attacked Will Patton, I have to say, if I was in the same situation, I would have probably made the same move. Smart? No. But was it deserving? I kind of think so. Did you see why he attacked Will Patton?
I actually wasn't sure why he directly, like, hit him. I know he was going after one of the Rams.
Well, if you really look at the film, Will Patton was you know, jawing away, which, you know, it happens on the field. Obviously, the best thing to do is to kind of look the other way. But I was noticing that Will Patton had his face mask on the helmet of Aaron Donald. And, like, you know, if you really look at the replay, Aaron Donald was trying to get him off him. Like, dude, you know, back up a little bit. And you can even see, like, he tries to grab the back of his neck to kind of, you know, get him away from him. And then, I don't know what was said. I wasn't there. I would have loved to have heard, but after a while, Aaron Donald just got sick of it, and, well, he shoved him in the face, and the helmet went flying. Me, personally, I don't understand why a guy like Will Patton is going to try and do that to a guy like Aaron Donald. Not a good guy to mess with. Not a good guy to mess
no,
with.
No, he would have gotten rocked. In this particular case, I can understand Donald. In a more close and important game, he can't be doing that because he has to face this franchise. But he was tired. He was angry. He was playing his ass off, and nobody was helping him. And then this little dude on the 49ers is getting in his face. He's going to shove him. And him slamming his helmet just showed me that this guy was just pissed off at that his team did not show up in the slightest. He didn't get the memo that they weren't going to play today. And he's one of the only guys that actually went out there and played and had a good game. He's still the all-pro that we know and love. He's still a great player. And I'm glad that he got this out of his system, because moving forward, if this game was just a fluke and not signs of what the rest of the season is going to look like, he can't be doing that in closing competitive games.
Yeah, for sure. I hear that. And I'm sure Aaron Donald kind of realizes that now. He kind of apologized for his actions later. I think he's aware of it now. He looks back at it, thought it was pretty stupid. But, you know, heat of the moment, heat of the game, frustration let out. And like you said, he was playing his ass off while the rest of the team wasn't. So, as far as Donald goes, I'm not really concerned about it. I was mainly concerned that he was going to get suspended, and thankfully the league has decided not to suspend him.
Good luck out there.
Yeah, we can't afford losing quite possibly our best player on the team.
No, definitely our best player, I'd say. Although Todd is a close second, but after last night, you can't. really argue that it was Donald.
I'll accept that for sure.
So moving forward, they have the Seahawks in the home debut next week. We'll just start with this. Do you think that this was more of a fluke or more of a sign that the Rams literally might be the worst team in the NFL this year?
I think it was more of a sign that it was just that the Rams were not ready, that the Rams tried to change a way too much in a very short period of time. It was very obvious that the coaching staff was not organized, and it was just a very poor time to change a lot of things around. As far as do I think that this is a terrible team? No. I think we have a lot of talent on this team. It's just quite possibly the most poorly coached team in the league if they continue on this path.
Absolutely. Jeff Fisher needs to go sooner than later. I don't know why he's still there. They have too much talent to be this bad every week. But that offense looked brutal. And if they don't fix that offense, they're not going to win games, like, at all. The defense is good. The defense is not going to be 28-0 bad every week. There's no way. And we saw on a couple drives how good they were. But when you put the other team in four straight three and outs and your offense just gives you absolutely nothing in return and you're just back on the field in three plays, back on the field in four plays, you finally set them up with good field position on a special teams play and your quarterback just throws a ridiculous interception. The 49ers aren't that good, and when you play better teams, it could be worse. We know the Rams are the flukiest team in the world under the Jeff Fish era. They'll probably go out and beat Seattle because that's just what they do because they make no sense. It's going to be interesting. If this offense doesn't look any better, it's hard to imagine them winning more than four games, honestly. And I think that if Keenum looks equally bad next week, we're going to see Goff sooner than later.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As far as Fisher goes, he does need to leave. It is a very fluky team. I've seen them win some of the most unbelievable teams out there, some of the most talented teams out there, only for them to lose to a team like the 49ers. And
yeah.
The 49ers are not a good team. It even showed during that game. In reality, the 49ers probably should have won by 63-0.
Oh, yeah.
Just by how awful the Rams played. But they only won 28-0, which sounds like a thrashing, and it is. But considering how poorly the 49ers played, it could have been a lot worse. In terms of Seattle, for whatever reason, the Rams, at least in the past two years, I'll say, that's like the Super Bowl. They show up to play against the Seattle Seahawks. It's what the Rams do, which I'm happy because I'm not a huge Seahawks fan, I have to admit. But I think as far as playing the Seahawks, I think we have a good chance. I think being back in a home environment will do them some good. You know, I'll be at the game also, so I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what they play like, you know, back in the Coliseum.
They need to play strong against Seattle, and they always do, but we haven't looked that bad in a long time. Like you said, 28-0, we got lucky. If that was a good offense and a better quarterback, they would have trashed us in the first half. Luckily, Blaine Gabbert left a little bit on the table, and although it was a bad beating, it could have been a lot uglier. So we'll see how they come out against Seattle. You never know with this team. They always play Seattle tough. I browsed Reddit this week, and I see Seahawks fans like, oh, the Rams are the worst team in the league. Can't wait to lose them next week because it's just how it goes for some strange reason. And in the home debut, hopefully they have the crowd on their side. Hopefully they make a lot of adjustments on offense and put this team in a better place. But Case Keenum and the receiving core not being good, it's just a lot of concerns.
Yeah, as far as Keenum goes, one thing I've agreed with Fisher this whole season is not starting Jared Goff. The last thing he needs to do is be on a stretcher outwards just because the offensive line couldn't block and he was just not ready for in-game NFL action. So I agree with him there. If Keenum just looks outright terrible like he did in this game, I think they're still going to roll with Keenum, but if it were up to me, I would probably try my luck with Mannion. I know a lot of people won't agree with me just because, you know, everyone wants to see Jared Goff ball, but he's just not ready. It was very evident, and I don't know if he can do better than Case Keenum. You have Mannion, who, you know, we drafted pretty early in the third round. So why squander his talents? It's obvious in the preseason that, you know, he has some talent. I definitely think he has more capability than that of Keenum. Maybe not so of Goff when Goff's actually ready. But I think Mannion, I would roll the dice with Mannion. Say, why not? What do we got to lose? Especially if we're, you know, putting in performances like this past game.
I want to see Goff, but I totally agree with you. If they feel like he's not ready, just because Case Keenum's not looking good, you just throw Mannion in there. Why the hell not? And I think that later on the line, maybe at the bye week, if they really are not a good football team, then after the bye, you throw Goff in and you see what happens. Let him get some experience. The pressure will be off if they're not competing at all. But early on, if Keenum's not good, you might as well play Mannion. He had potential, and he showed it in that first preseason game. I know it was against scrubs and backups, but he dominated. So do you think that Goff is going to see the field at any point this year or no?
I do. I think you'll see probably towards the second half of the year. But as far as him going into the first half of the year, I think it would be a mistake. You know, set some time with Chris Winkie. I think that's what's best for him at this point. He needs a lot of work still. I know we really want to see Goff just because of how much we invested in him, but we got to give him some time. It would do him no good if we throw him out there and he's looking like Case Keenum and potentially worse.
The fan in me wants Goff to play as soon as possible, but the reasonable person in me definitely agrees with you unless there's some great progress that we didn't see because of practice. If we're not good, I would love to see him after the bye week. I think why not? Throw him in there. Let him get some reps. It's the best way to learn. And right now, I don't think we'll be as bad as we looked that game, but I can't really see us being in a position to compete come the bye week.
No. And this game against the Seahawks will definitely determine how good we're going to be. If we struggle, heck, if we're thrashed by the Seahawks like we were against the 49ers, at that point, just throwing Goff. Why not? He needs to learn at some point.
Definitely. But I will give Fisher, and I know you gave him credit, I will give him credit on that. Goff would have gotten destroyed against that 49ers defense based because of how little anyone was playing around him. But he does have a bigger arm than the other quarterbacks. He could open up the field a bit. And I think once he gets a better grasp on this playbook, you got to throw him in there and let him adjust to real-time defense. The game is fast, and you don't learn the fast-paced game in practice. You got to get your reps in the game.
That's very true.
Our opponent this week, the Seattle Seahawks, had not a good showing at all either, but they squeaked out a win against the Dolphins, who kind of blew that game near the end. Seattle had no life on offense until the last drive and managed to get down there. They won the game, so it's not as publicized as it should be. But like we said of the Rams, do you think that's more of a sign of things to come or more of a fluke?
Well, as far as the Seahawks go, I do think the Dolphins are a bit underrated, just a tad. I won't say that they're a Super Bowl winning team or anything, because they're not. But defensively, I think they're a pretty solid team.
Definitely.
Offensively, they're the Dolphins. So, yeah, it was a bit of a shock that the Seahawks kind of struggled. And really, they, as you said, they kind of got lucky in that game because the Dolphins themselves kind of blew the game for themselves. As far as the Seahawks, they're not a great team. This isn't the same Seahawks team that we've seen in the Super Bowl in recent years. Offensively, as you said, not a very good team. Russell Wilson, I mean, he looked like he was lost out there. There wasn't much he could do. The offensive line was even worse than I remembered last year. And, of course, the missing link in Marshawn Lynch, it was felt. It was very obvious that they relied really heavily on Marshawn Lynch. Him being gone this year, it really hurt the offense a lot. So it really depends on what defense shows up. If we see the same tired defense as the 49ers, the Rams defense should be all over this team. Especially, you know, one of the players that I remember directly attacking Russell Wilson is William Hayes. So I'm kind of looking forward to see what he does against a kind of depleted offensive line of the Seahawks. As far as offensively for the Rams, I don't know. We'll see. I think that they will have his struggles, especially in the secondary, going against Legion of Boom. Hopefully they can block for Gurley, because Gurley, he can do some damage, especially up the middle, I think.
I think there's a lot of variables in Seattle as to whether they're going to be a team that makes a deep playoff run or whether they're going to be a team that goes 8-8 or 9-7 and misses the playoffs. Like you said about the line, they're weak. They weren't great last year, but they kind of flew under the radar. They didn't get any better, and they lost their running back. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. The Rams, if the Rams defense played like they did in the third quarter of that 49ers game, they could get at Wilson. He's injured, and this might be a game, especially with how bad the Rams looked last week, this might be a game where they just give Russell a break, although I don't see that being likely, but it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. But I think their defense is still strong. I think the Rams' offense will struggle a little bit, and if they can't get any passing attack going, that defense might eat up Gurley. I think they need Thomas Rawls to look like he did in that tiny sample size he had last year where he looked like a stud. I don't think the running back by committee is going to cut it. I think it was more of a fluky thing for them. The Dolphins' defense is underrated. I would still pick them to go to the playoffs. But yeah, there's definitely cause for concern there. And I think if the Rams could get 14 points on the board, they have a legitimate chance of beating this team. But can they get 14 points on the board? Who knows?
That statement right there, that is the epitome of what the Rams are looking at right now. The fact that we are praying for 14 points says a lot. And quite frankly, it's insulting.
It's not a team that's built to compete from behind. Like, when we got down 14-0 in that game, how bad we're playing aside, I was just kind of like, I don't trust Case Keenum to bring us back from a 14-0 deficit. They have to get a touchdown early and then kind of manage the game, especially when he's the quarterback, because he's not going to beat anyone with an arm. He's going to play conservative. Usually he doesn't throw too many bad picks. Last week was different. Hopefully we get last year's Case Keenum, who doesn't make as many mistakes. Unless Gurley breaks big runs like he did last year, it's sad, but that's kind of what the offense is dependent on to get points on the board.
Yeah, we need Gurley to basically face the entire defense, because offensive line didn't look like they were going to block anyway. I think in particular the tight ends, you know, were kind of worthless. Lance Kendricks isn't known as the best blocking tight end, but man, he looked incredibly useless out there. Mm-hmm. And we kind of figured what we're getting now with Tyler Higbee. He needed some help with blocking, you know, out of college, but man, they were literally useless bodies being tossed around everywhere.
They need to help the line. The line needs to get a slight push up front to help out Gurley. And I think that kind of went under the radar about Gurley in general on his rookie year. He ran up the middle and just kind of got stuffed a decent amount. He got so many yards because 2-3, and in good games, 4 or 5 times a game, he would just break through and bust out a 20-yard or longer run. I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure he led the league in 20-yard runs. And that's what really pushed him to being the third leading rusher in the league. So when he doesn't get those, he struggles.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I do recall a lot of times that Todd Gurley just, you know, was stuffed. But at the same time, I do recall, you know, better blocking. And we need that. We need better blocking. We need to demand more from our offensive line, because they're too talented for them to just give up like that.
Absolutely. And I think one of our concerns in the preseason was we knew the line has potential, but they're young. They got a lot of inexperience, and they're relying on guys that haven't necessarily proven themselves to be good linemen. They've had moments, but they're shaky, and that showed in week one. And hopefully they just continue to improve. And as the year goes on, they get more and more protection for Gurley, and he can pile up more and more yards. Hey, speaking of bad offenses, Sean Hill won a game without getting any offensive points or any production.
that's true. That's the Sean Hill I remember.
I guess it could be worse for Gurley, because when Sean Hill is playing quarterback, AP can only get 30 yards on 19 carries. So I think they're excited to get Bradford in the lineup, that's for sure.
Well, considering it's Bradford or Sean Hill, yeah, I'd be really excited for Bradford.
Hell, I'd be excited, very excited, if Bradford was our quarterback right now.
Oh, geez. That I really regret trading Bradford for Poles, even though I was happy about it at first.
Yeah, you know, in hindsight, as of now, I know I still like Goff as a prospect, but if we could have had Bradford and all the picks we traded for Jared Goff, I think the team would be in a better place.
Oh, without a question. Without a question.
Yeah, which...
To tell you the truth, I wasn't a fan of either Wentz or Goff.
No. And, no.
Yeah, I was really disappointed when they made that trade, and I was a Wentz guy myself. I was hoping for Wentz. Didn't happen.
I was more Goff. I know we've debated on that. Wentz did look good, by the way. But I just didn't feel like either of these guys. I think they're decent prospects, but they're not worth trading up for. And you look at the draft some years, this was a weak quarterback year, and two teams traded a decent amount of picks to move up for guys. I mean, compared to last year, they're not even close to the prospects that Mariota or Winston were.
Not at all. Not at all. As far as Wentz goes, yeah, he looked pretty good. But, again, they were playing the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Not too much of an intimidating defense there.
We were so bad that people forget how bad Cleveland looked.
Wow. That should be a meme.
Yeah.
That... We were so bad that we forget how bad Cleveland was.
Cleveland fans were excited watching that game. They were like, they're not going to be talking about us all week.
In fact, we should make that a meme, send that to Les Snead, and say, hey, this is exactly what the reality is at this point. Something needs to change, like, and fast.
Do you think if... Fisher gets fired, Snead is gone too, or you think they keep him around? I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm kind of torn at that. Fisher needs to be gone. There's just no question.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Fisher needs to be gone. But, you know, Snead has made some questionable decisions, this Goff trade being one of them. At the same time, he's made some really solid decisions. I mean, he's the guy that brought us, you know, Aaron Donald, Robert Quinn. Todd Gurley, you know, he's made some solid choices, but I don't know. It really depends. I think, you know, if we can't get Fisher to, you know, lead this team into a semi-decent standing, there's no way they're going to resign him or Snead, I think.
Yeah, I think if the team is 7-9 again, I think Fisher's gone. I think Snead stays. If they're bad, I think they're both gone. And it kind of sucks for Snead because he's made a lot of good moves, like you said, but his legacy is his Goff trade. That's what he's going to be known for. He made a great trade getting all those picks for RG3, but he built his legacy on this trade.
Yep, no doubt about it. I never thought I'd miss 7-9 bullshit.
Oh my god, I know. Hopefully we'll get back to 7-9 bullshit.
I miss 7-9 bullshit already, and it hasn't even happened yet.
I think that's a good note to end this on.
Maybe that was the plan all along. That Fisher, it's like, hey guys, let's play so freaking terrible that they won't notice the 7-9 bullshit.
Let's make them want to be as mediocre as I am.
Oh god.
He actually passed Don Shula for third most losses all time. And I think Don Shula has like 160 more wins.
Can we have Don Shula?
I will take John Shula right now.
I want Don. In fact, you know, I would take a lot of people that I didn't like. Can we have Steve Spagnuolo back?
I don't know if I would take Spags back over Fisher, man.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, at least Spags' defense looked at least a little bit, you know, good.
I want Mike March back.
Oh, man. As long as we don't get Linehan.
Yeah, I do not want Linehan back. That's for sure.
We do not need Linehan back.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
Yep, that says it all, our past coaching staff.
Yeah. God. All right. Well, we will be back next week. Hopefully the conversation is a little less gloomy, and hopefully we look decent against the Seattle Seahawks. We'll see you guys then.